Hello, this is Kurt Benrud with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next 29 minutes, I will be reading movie reviews and theater previews. These are reviews of movies and previews of local theater, all of which are available with audio description. And another departure from my norm, because I'm never satisfied with what I've done in the past, I'm just going to tell you, well, just listen up. Live stuff around the corner. We have plays. One is called Distracted. One is called Hello, Dolly. There's Puss in Boots, which will have free tickets available. There's a ballet called Midsummer Night's Dream. And there is a play called Home, which also will have free tickets available. Meanwhile, we've got some movies coming up this week. We've got African Cats, Fast Five, and Water for Elephants. Three different types of movies for three different types of tastes. Okay, a closer look now, folks. Friday, May 13th, 8 p.m., Raleigh Ensemble Players is offering Distracted. Saturday, May 14th, 2 p.m., North Carolina Theater has Hello, Dolly. Also on Saturday, May 14th, it's at 3 p.m., Cary Players has Puss in Boots. Jump to the following weekend. It's a Sunday, 2 p.m. Carolina Ballet has Midsummer Night's Dream. And it's a ballet based on the Shakespeare play. Okay. And then we go all the way into June for Justice Theater Project offering the play called Home. It's on June 26th. It's at 2 p.m. This one will also definitely have some free tickets. Okay, just a closer look at each one of these plays. Distracted, being offered by Raleigh Ensemble Players on Friday, May 13th, 8 p.m. The play is written by Lisa Loomer. And the question is asked, what's wrong with 9-year-old Jesse? He can sit still, or rather he can't sit still. He curses, he raps, and you can't get him into or out of his pajamas. His teacher thinks it's attention deficit disorder. Dad says he's just a boy. And Mama's on a quest for answers in this funny, poignant drama. Tickets cost $20, or if you're a senior, a student, an educator, or active military, it's $15. You can call Raleigh Ensemble Players at 832-9607. That's 919-832-9617. The play is performed at the new Raleigh Ensemble Players space at 213 Fayetteville Street, just a couple blocks down from the Capitol, and in the vicinity of several restaurants and bars where one can eat or drink prior to or after the show. It's Distracted by Raleigh Ensemble Players on Friday, May 13th, 8 p.m. Raleigh Ensemble Players sometimes offers free tickets for audio-described users, and I've not been in touch with them about that yet, but don't change your phone number. Next, I'm looking at Hello, Dolly. This is by North Carolina Theater, and they perform in Raleigh's Memorial Auditorium. And it's Saturday, May 14th, 2 p.m., Hello, Dolly is an elegant classic full of memorable songs, including Put On Your Sunday Clothes, Before the Parade Passes By, and It Only Takes a Moment. Every generation is sure to enjoy this lavish production. Bring your family along on a whirlwind race around New York at the turn of the 20th century as we follow the adventures of America's most beloved matchmaker. Hello, Dolly is an elegant classic, as they said earlier. Anyway, tickets range from $30 to $75. You can make reservations by calling 831-6950. That's 919-831-6950. The play is Hello, Dolly. It's NC Theater, being performed in Raleigh's Memorial Auditorium on Saturday, May 14th at 2 p.m. Now we'll look at Puss in Boots, which is at the plays written by Rowena Bennett, and this is directed by Stacey Sabarsky, with whom I have worked in the past. She is doing her first time directing for Cary Players. And they call this an uplifting, family-oriented event. In a show for the entire family, Puss helps his master escape his older brother, the scary ogre, and become more than he ever thought he could be. All this and a fancy hat and boots, too. Adults are $12, students and seniors, that seniors being over 55, huh, that includes me, are $10, and 12 and under are $8. All performances are at the Herb Young Community Center in Cary. There are free tickets will be made available for users of audio description, so plan on calling us for more information. What else I need to let you know here is... Also, James Benton will be arranging some transportation through Raleigh Parks and Rec. So don't change your phone number. We'll have more information a little ways down the road. Once again, the name of the play is Puss in Boots. It's playing on Saturday, the 14th of May at 3 p.m. It's by Cary Players, and it's in the Herb Young Community Center in Cary. Not difficult to find. Down the road here, we've got the Tony Award nomination for Best Play. The name of it is Home. It's by a North Carolina playwright named Sam Art Williams. This is a fellow that I have met. They tell us that the gentle saga of every man Cephas Miles, who leaves his family farm in North Carolina and travels north for more opportunities. His epic journey from adolescence to adulthood spans the 1950s through the Civil Rights era and the Vietnam War, showing us all the importance of coming home. And like I said, it was nominated for Best Play. It also got the Drama Desk nomination for Best Play. So we got Tony and Drama Desk. It got an award from the Outer Critics Circle. And it also got the NAACP Image Award and the North Carolina Governor's Award. This play includes, as cast, Joseph Callender, Barbette Hunter, with whom I have worked and who I've seen in the past, and Joy Williams. It's directed by Sean Brosnahan, with whom I've worked in the past, and I've seen his direction also. Free pairs of tickets will be offered to users of audio description, one for the user, one for the driver. Anybody else, it's between $10 and $15, depending on who you are and what your story is. And you can call them at 264-7089. That's 919-264-7089. And I got a little out of sequence here because I skipped the one for Sunday, May 22nd, 2 p.m., which is Carolina Ballet's Midsummer Night's Dream. Now, I am a major fan of Shakespeare, you might know, so I'm kind of curious about this. But it says, in addition to A Midsummer Night's Dream, there's also a new Bongar Ballet. That's spelled B-O-N-G-A-R. Let's see what's up here. George Balanchine's exquisite adaptation of Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream, with music by Felix Mendelssohn, closes the season with a new-to-Raleigh set of sets and costumes. The program also features a new ballet by company principal Attila Bongar, who choreographed the striking Guernica in Picasso from the 29-2010 season. Now, this play is being offered at Raleigh, or this ballet, rather, is playing at Raleigh Little Theater, and the audio description is being performed at Raleigh's Memorial Auditorium, and the audio described performance, once again, is on Sunday, the 22nd of May. It's at 2 p.m. Tickets for that performance run anywhere from $20 to $65. And you can call the box office at 719-0900. That's 719-0900. One more time, 919 888-719-0900. Let's move from the stage to the screen now, because in Garner, Apex, and Raleigh, there's one theater each that offers audio-described movies, and each of them have one screen that offers them, so there's only one choice play on at a time, but it's better than nothing. In Garner, the White Oak Stadium, their phone number is 919-779-7499. That's 919-779-7499. In Apex, the Beaver Creek Stadium is 919-362-7342. That's 919-362-7342. And in Raleigh, it's the North Hills Stadium, which can be reached at 919-786-4494. That's 919-786-4494. I told you that there are three movies playing with audio description in this foreseeable future. It's African Cats, which is playing in Apex and in Garner through the 28th, which is Thursday of this week. And it'll be followed by Fast Five, which will be opening on Friday this week, the 29th, and playing through the 5th, which is Thursday next week. That's in both Apex and Garner. Meanwhile, in Raleigh, we have Water for Elephants, which is playing. It opens this Friday, the 29th, and it plays through the 5th, which is Thursday next week. So what's up with these movies? Well, the one that's currently playing, it's African Cats. Let's see what the reviewers have to say. First of all, you need to know that it's that the cast is listed as Samuel L. Jackson. That's it. The director, Keith Sholey and Alistair Fothergill. And it's written by Keith Sholey. It runs for 89 minutes. It is a documentary with a rating of G. The synopsis from the website says, an epic true story set against the backdrop of one of the wildest places on Earth, African Cats captures the real life love, humor, and determination of the majestic kings of the savannah. The story features Marna, an endearing lion cub who strives to grow up with her mother's strength, spirit, and wisdom. Sita, that's S-I-T-A, a fearless cheetah. And Sai, African Cats, is a cuddly puss. With its sleek coat, squishy belly, and nice fatty layer of storytelling, there's no missing its close genetic link with a certain all-powerful mouse. The names have changed and the animals are real, but you wouldn't be shocked if a warthog or two broke out into Hakuna Matata. The third big screen, big wow documentary from Disney Nature. After 2007's Earth and 2009's Ocean, African Cats takes us into the lives of cheetahs and lions in Kenya's Masai Mara National Reserve. Narrator Samuel L. Jackson introduces us to the stars. Sita, a cheetah mommy, lives with her five cubs on the north side of a river. Layla, a battle-worn lioness, lives on the south side with her little daughter, Mara, and a large pride led by their old man, Fang. The stories and the animals and their stories are anthropomorphized to the hilt. Fang, an old warrior with a loose tooth, senses that bad boys from across the river are after his turf, the fearsome lion Kali and his four strapping sons. If Kali's gang are the villains of the picture, Bang is its bloviating coward. He's all roar. Good thing for him, the river separating them is infested with crocodiles. Enter a thudding Jaws ripoff. Good thing it's impassable and swollen with rain. I'll admit, it got to me. Anyone with a fondness for bambinos of any species should melt at the sight of mamas with nuzzling cubs. It helps that the cinematography is absolutely gorgeous, from aerial shots of mass migrations to close-ups of rippling cheetah muscles. African Cats takes the viewer on a breathtaking armchair safari ride. But unlike most nature documentaries, The movie doesn't bother too much with details. Its Kenyan location isn't revealed until the end, and unless I miss it, there isn't any mention anywhere of the Mara River. It's simply the river. The animals in migration are simply the herds. If you're looking for information on cheetah mating habits, forget it. Too much for a G rating, I guess. Presumably, a male was involved in the production of Sita's cubs, but his whereabouts remain a mystery in African Cats, which just may be Disney's most pointedly feminist effort since Mulan. There's no greater bond than that between a lioness and her cub, says Samuel L. Jackson, offering one of many odes to girl power on the savannah. The guys in this world are all bullies and scaredy cats. It's the ladies who man up, the real tiger or lion or cheetah. The real tiger or lion or cheetah are the moms who chase down gazelles and raise their fluffy kids in the face of danger. And so once again, the name of this movie is African Cats. Be aware, it's rated G, and it is a documentary. You can catch it tonight, Wednesday, or tomorrow night, Thursday, at the White Oak Stadium in Garner or at the Beaver Creek Stadium in Apex. And both theaters change over to a movie called Fast Five, which opens on Friday, and let's take a look at it. The cast includes Vin Deschel, Paul Walker, Jordana Brewster, Chris Ludacris Bridges, Tyrese Gibson, Sung Kang, Gal Gadot, Matt Schultz, Tego Calderon, and Don Omar. It's directed by Justin Lin. This movie runs 130 minutes, which is 2 hours and 10 minutes. It's rated PG-13. It's an action, adventure, drama, suspense, thriller. Synopsis here. Since Brian and Mia Toretto broke Dom out of custody, they've blown across many borders to elude authorities. Now backed into a corner in Rio de Janeiro, they must pull one last job in order to gain their freedom. They know their only shot of getting out for good means confronting the corrupt businessman who wants them dead. But he's not the only one on their tail. When hard-nosed federal agent Luke Hobbs is assigned to track down Dom and Brian, he and his strike team launch an all-out assault. But Hobbs learns he can't separate the good guys from the bad. Now he must rely on his instincts to corner his prey before someone else runs them down. And there's a review here from the Critical Critic website, and one of their critics is named Musana Ahmed, and she says, "Making a sequel to a film is never normally a good thing. They excite all the fans of the previous film and then ultimately disappoint them with a production that is not better and in some cases far worse than the original. The same argument can generally be applied to reboots or to purists' remakes. Some premises, thanks to money-making opportunities, turn into semi-successful franchises, even though each addendum becomes steadily worse. This has been the case with the Fast and Furious series. However, the fifth film, Fast Five, bucks the argument. It head and shoulders outclasses its predecessors." Continuing where Fast and Furious left off, Fast Five picks up Mia and Brian chasing down the bus and freeing Dominic in spectacular fashion. Now, Dominic is played by Vin Deschel. Mia is Jordana Brewster, and Brian is Paul Walker. Now, if you recall, he was sentenced to 25 years in jail and being carted away. Eluding authorities thereafter, the trio reunites in Rio de Janeiro, where every Brazilian seems to be portrayed as a gun-toting thug, to lick their wounds and plan their next move. And wouldn't you know it, up next for the car thieves, now joined by fellow member Vince, is a heist of a Ford GT40 from a train secured by DEA agents. what good is it to run from the law if you can't continue to break the law? Predictably, it gets messy, and in order for the crew to break free, they hatch another plan to get their hands on $100 million of laundered money. It isn't long before they all become a few of the most wanted criminals. Their mission, that rips through Brazil, sees two on their trail, federal agent Luke Hobbs, played by Dwayne Johnson, who never lets anyone escape, and corrupt drug lord Reyes, played by Joaquin Almeida, who wants them dead. It's not a really witty plot, and there aren't great performances guided by a witty script either, so rule out suspenseful conversations and memorable dialogue. Vin Deschel is a big block of wood. Jordana Brewster and Paul Walker are good-looking blocks of wood. A merit goes to the Dwayne Johnson, though. He was perfectly cast for his role and shows a lot more of his talky WWE side, unlike his last film, Faster, where he was virtually on mute. But this series, with its core of street racing, has never been known for excelling in those aspects of filmmaking. It's known for its blinged-out rides and edge-of-your-seat action sequences. And what stunning action scenes there are in Fast Five. Instead of all of the focus being relayed onto the badass cars and their drivers' need for speed, which there's still a fair share of, however, this installment takes more of a stab at the men-on-a-mission plot element, emphasizing more on fighting than racing. There's even an ex-wrestler versus action star fight, like when Cold Stone Steve Austin first fought Sylvester Stallone in The Expendables. If you think of Fast Five as the cinematic equivalent of a mindless, muscular athlete, then you can't go wrong. It can't talk a good game, but you can surely play a good game. The film is as absent-minded as it can possibly be, as if the men behind the camera decided a plot wasn't a necessary evil. But it's more than made up for by the pulse-pounding action. Look at this year's earlier films, The Mechanic and The Green Hornet. It's safe to say that this Fast and Furious feature has the best action sequences of the year and is clearly the top actioner overall so far. And I neglected to tell you, incidentally, that that this reviewer gave this movie 5 out of a possible 5 stars. And once again, the name of this movie is Fast Five, and it's playing starting this Friday at the White Oak Stadium in Garner and the Beaver Creek Stadium in Apex. Fast Five is rated PG-13. In order to find out show times, of course, you'll need to call the theaters. And I'm going to give the phone numbers again at the end of the broadcast for all three of these theaters. Meanwhile, jumping over to Raleigh at the North Hills Stadium, opening this Friday is the PG-13 documentary Water for Elephants. Now, this cast includes Robert Pattinson, Reese Witherspoon, James Frayne, Christopher Haltz, Hal Holbrook, Paul Schneider, Ken Foree, Tim Gwinney, Mark Povinelli, and Scott McDonald, with direction by Francis Lawrence. This is a movie that runs for 120 minutes. And I'm sorry I said documentary. This is actually a drama. It's rated PG-13. Now, the synopsis tells us that during the Great Depression, Jacob, a penniless and recently orphaned veterinary school student, parlays his expertise with animals into a job with a second-rate traveling circus. He falls in love with Marlena, one of the show's star performers, but their romance is complicated by Marlena's husband, the charismatic but unbalanced circus boss. Now, in case you're not quite hooked just yet, let me let you know that Roger Ebert, the famous reviewer, gives this 3 out of a possible 4 stars. And he starts by saying, there's something endearingly old-fashioned about a love story involving a beautiful bareback rider and a kid who runs off to join the circus. What makes Water for Elephants more intriguing is a third character, reminding us why Christopher Waltz deserved his Supporting Actor Oscar for Inglourious Basterds in 2009. He plays the circus owner who is married to the bareback rider and keeps her and everyone else in his iron grip. The story is based on the bestseller by Sarah Gruen, and it's told as a flashback by an old man named Jacob, played by Hal Holbrook, who lost his parents in 1931, dropped out of Cornell University's veterinary school, hit the road, and hopped a train that happened, wouldn't you know it, to be a circus train. Played by Robert Pattinson as a youth, he is naive and excited, and his eyes fill with wonder as he sees the beautiful Marlena, played by Reese Witherspoon, on her white show horse. The owner, August, played by Waltz, is prepared to throw him off the train until he learns young Jacob knows something about veterinary medicine. In an age of prefabricated special effects and obviously phony spectacle, it's sort of old-fashioned and a pleasure to see a movie made of real people and plausible sets. The production designer, Jack Fisk, has created a believable one-ring circus here, and even the train itself has a personality. August and Jacob spend an implausible amount of time walking or running on top of it, but never mind. The dynamic in the story depends on August's jealousy of Marlena and her stubborn loyalty to their marriage contract. This is where Waltz makes his contribution. Shorter than Pattinson, indeed hardly taller than Witherspoon, he rules over everyone as a hard-bitten taskmaster whose easy charm conceals a cold inner core. It's the same dynamic he used as the merciless Nazi in Inglourious Basterds. He's given too much to offering champagne toasts with a knife hidden inside. In the Early Depression, times are hard and jobs are few. The circus is in debt, and August produces a new star attraction he believes he can save it. This is Rosie, a middle-aged elephant he thinks Marlena can ride. And Jacob can train and care for, although neither has worked with an elephant before. Scenes involving the personality and language compression of elephants creates an intrinsic charm, and the movie surrounds them with a convincing portrait of circus life on the road. The film's climax involves a series of dire events I will not describe, except to say it's a little unclear how they started into motion. This is good, sound family entertainment and a safe PG-13, but not a dumb one, and it's a refreshing interlude before we hurtle into the summer blockbuster season. Now, real quick, the Garner White Oak Stadium is 779-7499. That's 779-7499. Apex's Beaver Creek is 362-7342. That's 362-7342. And Raleigh's North Hills Stadium is 786-4494. That's 786-4494. Do make sure that you always call the theater in advance to find out showtimes, because you don't want to get there and be disappointed by any changes. Meanwhile, we're running out of time for this episode of Movie Reviews and Theater Previews. I'm Kirk Benrood for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Hope you enjoyed this, and I hope you make it to a play, to a ballet, or to a movie. It's fun.